Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So the ABAB Festival is an Arts Council England funded platform for engaging with music, arts and creativity from the Middle East and North Africa. The festival started in 2016 as a weekend celebrating and exploring themes of love in music and film for Valentine's weekend at Cambridge Junction. It's now back 8 days from now. We've got the organiser Gil here in the studio. Good morning. Thank you for coming along. We were just saying that it started, so this is the fifth one.
Yeah.
And when it first started, it was a 3-day sort of like weekend thing, and now it's actually, this one's going on for 10 days.
More or less 10 days, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Growth?
Yeah, it's great.
How have you got here? How has it all evolved and extended like this?
Okay, so the first one basically was set around Valentine's weekend in 2016. And it started as sort of a 3-day thing. We had BBC Arabic come down and film it, and they were one of the media partners, and it was all like a big thing. And we had Natasha Atlas making a sort of welcome return after about a decade out of the UK spotlight. And we had some great Tacht masters, which is a sort of particular classical form of Arabic music. They were opening it up. And we also had a Makam orchestra, the Abdel Halim Orchestra of Oxford Makam, which is like a big oriental string section and kind of doing classic Egyptian music. And yeah, it was amazing that the fact that we'd kind of done that. And that kind of empowered us to do more. Mm. And from there, we commissioned the UK's probably first Arabic opera in the second one. And so did lots of, and basically have just kind of been returning to it and doing lots of kind of new innovative things. And rather, not just sort of in the way of like, you know, here's some new stuff, but actually sort of showcasing that it's a huge body of music, this kind of idea about East and West, like it's sort of set. And it isn't. There's so much there. You know, you think about the Middle East, North Africa, it's vast.
Vast.
Vast. So, you know, there's loads of culture, and a lot of it interacts with European culture and African culture and Persian culture and you know, the Turkmenic cultures of the Central Asia. So there's so much diversity.
How does it vary in terms of performance, thinking particularly about music, although I realise there's arts events you have going on as well, from one part of North Africa to another? How do the, you know, can you do a compare and contrast in styles?
Well, there, I mean, you know, North Africa sort of is, you know, technically Egypt through to Morocco in that sense, but there's a point in which the Maghreb starts, and the Maghreb is a term that on the whole means pretty much most of Libya, Tunisia, Algeria and Morocco. One of the sort of biggest kind of cultural broadcasters of that culture and music is probably Morocco. But there are also lots of great music coming out of Algeria and Tunisia, particularly styles like Shabi or Andalusian music. That kind of separates it. Whilst in Egypt, you've got a very urban, sophisticated, classical and modern culture that's kind of set more within a sort of central Arab identity. So you'd have like probably something with more similarly with Syrian culture or Lebanese or Palestinian culture.
And do they have their own in the same way that say in Britain, because of Ed Sheeran, or in part because of Ed Sheeran, you have a whole load of male singer-songwriters who are popular, and that's where part of the music scene here has gravitated towards. Do you have equivalent scenarios in the Middle East where you have a particular artist or set of artists and then everybody wants to be like them, and that trend emerges too?
Of course. I mean, you know, it's human endeavor. It's not that different in many ways. But for instance, you mean, you've got classic female singers like Umm Kulsum or Feroz. Now, Umm Kulsum was Egyptian, Feroz was Lebanese. But you've also got, like, and we're talking about the classics, so you've got people like Farid Al-Atrash. He was Syrian, but he did well in Egypt. He was like a movie star and a composer, and you know, Abdel Halim, Abdel Wahab, you know, all these kind of people, right? So you've got this kind of broad culture, but you know, singers tend to be a big thing. And in many ways, the whole idea of the kind of ahbab, which means lovers, kind of came out of the fact that, you know, in every second line in a song in Arabic has the word habibi, which means my darling. And so, you know, and there's so much output of love songs and there's so many singers, and that we kind of seized upon that idea. Also because it happened to be around Valentine's weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we kind of took it to that place. But what it's kind of turned into is the, you know, There's so much more there as well.
And it's not just the junction, is it? Not just Cambridge Junction.
That's
there's
right.
All, this time around, it's going to be all over Cambridge.
So the concerts are at Cambridge Junction, and the festival starts this year. It's like you said, it's not just a weekend. It's like, well, 10 days. So the first one is Omar Suleiman. Now, he's someone that's been playing with, like, Bjork and Fortet, you know, and doing lots of stuff, Damon Albarn of Blur. And he's played Cambridge a couple of times, once about 15 years ago, I think, in a church. And then last time back at the festival in 2017 or 2018 even.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge. That was, and, like, he's Syrian. He's a Syrian wedding singer that's done exceptionally well. He's got, like, 500 live albums and all this kind of stuff. But
what?
Yeah, believe it.
He started as a wedding singer, and now he has 500 live albums.
Yeah, because you've got to understand that, you know, the...
Oh, with the word darling in the title.
Yeah, totally, or somewhere in the lyrics. Because, I mean, the thing is that, you know, the scene there, this kind of idea of kind of like what I would call the back in the years, the cassette kind of charts, you know, on the markets. You know, artists would knock out cassettes or then CDs, so of their live performances. And the way people interact with
bootlegs
music...
Bootlegs of their own material.
Yeah, it's sort of like a bootleg market, but, you know, they get revenue, it kind of promotes them, and they get booked, and, you know, and they get... And he's, like, famous. So when we first put him on, loads of Syrians were like, you know, it's wonderful, it's amazing, he's... Oh, I can't believe it, you know, he's here, he's like a star. And they were, like, fawning over him. And it was like, wow, this guy's, like, huge. I mean, you think about it, you know, a wedding is a great celebration. It's something that everyone has. So, you know, and every family kind of enjoys. And so booking a singer is like a highlight. And he's kind of made a career out of it. But that's the culture there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got that.
Yeah.
And then we've got another... Then the following weekend, we've got three more nights of concerts. We've got Omar Bashir, who is an Iraqi oud master and the son of one of the greatest oud, which is a lute, masters of Iraqi music, Munir Bashir. And he's coming for an exclusive UK date. That's at the Junction. And then the next night, we've got a club night. And we've got Acid Arab, who are these Parisian DJs. They're awesome. And they run a night called Hafla, which is like super Parisian, cool, like Middle Eastern beats. And we've got Amar 808, and he's from Tunisia, and he's coming to a live set. I mean, this is all on the Junction website. You should check it out.
There is a lot going on here. That sounds totally amazing. So the Junction website, we will definitely put the details out for that one, but you're extending into the city. So tell us a few highlights of things that are going on outside of the Junction.
So outside of the Junction, on Saturday the 8th, we've got a day at Bedouin. Now, Bedouin are one of the partners. That's Bedouin on Mill Road. And they basically turn the foyer of the Junction into a pop-up restaurant, beautifully decorated with all their wonderful
paraphernalia. Yeah, because inside Bedouin it is amazing anyway.
So they have a warehouse full of that,
right,
which they bring to the Junction.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And then they have a pop-up restaurant and you can buy food. But we've also got language classes. We've got family days on the pay-as-you-go scheme, the pay-as-you-feel.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's language classes, there's a choir, there's a music workshop, there's belly dance classes. There's loads of stuff going on during the day. That's at the Junction. But throughout the week in between, there's stuff, as well as Bedouin, where it is a scratch day of sort of talks from Cambridge University music professors who specialise in the Middle East. They'll be kind of doing this like hot date, speed date thing of presentations about different bits of music and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's free. And that's, you can find that on the Akbar Festival Facebook page, details of the talks. And that's going to be running on Saturday the 8th between 12 and 4. And then we've got loads of things going on. We've got a book launch, the Unexpected Love Objects of Dunya, Dunya Noor, which is by a Libyan author called Rana Haddad. There's also a film called Freedom Films, Freedom Fields, which is a Libyan film that's at Cripps Auditorium. That stuff's free,
right,
but you've got to register for it,
yep,
for fire, health and safety. There's loads of stuff,
lots
basically.
And lots and lots. I'm wondering in particular the artists who are going to be appearing at the Junction, do they get much opportunity to perform in Europe at other times? You mentioned one guy who was like, exclusive performance this year. So.
Yeah. So, in all honesty, in Europe, there's a huge demand for them. And not just from sort of like, you know, recent refugee or migrant audiences or long-standing migrant audiences, but also just because, you know, in Europe, there's so many more kind of cultural mixes. You know, they're not island nations. So, you know, trends and people and culture and music kind of come and go a lot quicker
in
cities.
And how did you get involved in the particular scene?
Well, I've kind of been a world music promoter in Cambridge for, years. And so Cambridge Junction approached me and asked me what ideas I had for putting on like world music festivals, and I pitched about, I don't know, 5 or 6 different ideas, and this was one of them. And then I turned up and found out they had a sort of ethnomusicologist on their trustees.
Obviously, we are in Cambridge.
Yeah, who's called Dr. Marava Rosenfield Haddad, and she's from Wolf Institute, and she's sort of was obviously the steer on it, and she's like an expert in this music. So it kind of basically framed as a result of her steerage, and we've kind of been implementing it ever since.
Amazing. I'm kind of curious to know what your other 4 ideas were.
My other... I had one for a sort of like an American thing that was... it was kind of set around the time about 2015. I thought that there was a lot of aesthetic... sort of revival of things from the Kerouac era, the kind of the beatnik era, and I kind of thought that that in some ways marked a shift in American culture that was particular to what was happening both socio-cultural, political, and that it was informing artistic practice, which it sounds a bit... Anyway, but I thought that was kind of, and we were going to kind of showcase artists that were doing that kind of stuff and making that return. The other one was a Scandinavian one, and which would have been called like, which been Midnight Sun, and would, you know, have lots of Scandinavian folk music and also modern music makers like Jagger Yazist or Boogie Wesseltoft and people like that. And then the other one was a sort of Russian Eastern European kind of thing. But this one is the one that got chosen. And here we are 5 years later.
It sounds
sounds absolutely fair. That said, if you fancy doing a weekend of Scandinavian music, I'd probably pop along to that for sure as well.
Great.
Gil, thank you very much for coming
you.
In. Festival starts next weekend.
That's
at,
right.
At the Cambridge Junction, but also, as we've said, around the city as well. We'll slip the details on our own social media so everybody can know where they can find out about the Abab Festival. Gil Carpus, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very
thank
much.
You. Cheers.
22 after 9.
Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.